Amen. Boy, I tell you, I sure appreciate that singing. It's been, I've really enjoyed I've been down in Kentucky too long, I guess, on Sunday nights. I don't get a chance to be in the morning services on Sunday much because of what goes on behind the scenes here, but I do enjoy Sunday nights. I always have enjoyed Sunday nights. Sunday nights for me, it's a time when we come and rejoice and praise God for all He's done and just get excited about what the Lord's doing in our lives and the lives of other people. And the music, I feel, has been really just encouraging my heart. I think about the song we sung tonight here. Singing I go along life's road, praising the Lord, singing I go along life's road, for Jesus has lifted my load. I tell you, that song just speaks to my heart. That's where my heart ought to be. And I tell you what, Jesus does that all the time. If you would, go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms. And we're going to look at some Psalms here that have, I'm just going to jump around a little bit, but somebody asked me the other day, he said, "Brother Rick, what is it that, you know, I just want to have the joy of my salvation. I want to live the victorious Christian life. I want to have the freshness of my salvation, of the fact that I got a place in heaven, and that God has just, you know, changed and transformed my life. But, you know, right now I struggle with depression and with not having a Christ-like mind, but a mind that's insecure. And in Philippians it talks about having a Christian can have a secure mind. If it's a spiritual mind. And God has that for all of us. We want to live a victorious life. We want to live reign in life by one Jesus Christ. And I have found for myself the Psalms is a place where I get encouragement all the time. I woke up this morning and I was feeling a little puny. Down in Kentucky, that means you're not feeling real good. I just didn't feel like, you know, I said, man, I don't have any joy. I got on the wrong side of the bed. I'm having a bad hair day and all that stuff's going on. And I thought, you know, Lord, I can't do this. This can't happen. I don't often feel that way. Usually in the morning, I'm like the ever-ready the bunny. I just get up and start jumping around the house. And, of course, here, Carol's sitting there in bed. She's not like that. She's a nighttime person. That's when she's bopping around. And I'm in a coma, usually on the sofa somewhere. But, you know, that's kind of how we are. And I just enjoy mornings, another day to get up and do whatever. And I thank God for that. But this morning I got up and boy, I tell you, I just didn't feel like jumping up and down. I just kind of felt a little tired. I don't know if you ever felt like that. Kind of just get a little wore out and just not too sure what the Lord has for that day. But I tell you what, I said, I know the cure here. I don't have to go to some shrink. I don't have to go to some doctor to get a prescription to pump me up or whatever like that. I just turn to the book. I get the Bible. I know where to go. I've been living this life so long now for the Lord. I've learned how to deal with these good days and bad days. I learned how to deal with the heartaches and the sorrow. But I've learned that as I've gotten the book and God has showed me. I've learned it as I've come to this church and heard our preacher preach and many other preachers before that. I've learned that as a result of going to school. But I know what's necessary here. And so a lot of times when I don't really have that joy and I begin to be weighted down by the cares of this world, I'll turn to Psalms. And I turn to the Psalms today and looking at some verses here in the Psalm chapter 92. You know, there's a lot in the Psalms. While you turn there, I was thinking about today as I was studying. Over here, and you turn to 92, while I look over here in Psalm 14. It's a Psalm, or Psalm 13, where David, you know, Psalms are written by David. It's kind of like seeing the intimacy between David and the Lord. He's real transparent there. He's just real honest, and he comes to God and just shares his heart with God and pours his heart out. I think about what I saw one time here in Psalm 13. This has probably 21 years ago I saw this. But David came to God and he said, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? All right? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me?" And I thought, you know, man, David's really being honest with God. He's kind of getting on God's case. But you know what? It's just, God showed me that, Rick, I want you to come to me. No matter what's going on or where your life might be, you know, you're not, I know what's going on. I know how you are. I know what's taking place in your life. Nothing that you have going on in your life or attitude you might have or something you've done, that is not a surprise for me. I understand that. My son, Jesus Christ, came down on earth and lived a life like you have. And he was able, and the thing about that, and I like about that, is the fact that Christ came here, but he had victory in his life. Oh, you know, that's no doubt about that. He's the Son of God, right? No wonder he had victory. He's God himself walking on earth. But yet that was not true. When Jesus Christ came here, he did everything he did, what? In the power of the Holy Spirit of God, as a result of working through the Word of God. So the same things that Jesus Christ has done, I am able to do those things also. I can have that joy. I can have that peace. Even in spite of, I mean, I'm not facing living a life for 33 years looking forward to crucifixion. I don't have that on my mind. Jesus Christ had that on his mind. I guess as soon as he was able to think about anything, he knew exactly what the crucifixion was all about. And yet he had a joy and a peace and a presence that kept him going. He never quit on the Lord or on his Father in heaven. He kept on going. But I like the Psalms and the fact that we see those things there and the intimacy and the personal interaction and just how God can handle it. He said, you come to me with whatever. You share your heart with me and I'll be there for you and I'll comfort you and I'll help you through these times. But along with that, today I got the Psalms out and I looked at these verses here. And it was a challenge to my heart as I thought about it. It says here in verse 1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Amen. I thought, dear God, that's right. I need to give thanks to you. You need to just say thank you to God. Thank you for what God's given me. I thank God for my wife. She's laying right next to me there, right? And thank God for my family and my children. I said, you know what? It is a good thing to say thank you to the Lord. It goes on and says here, to sing praises unto his name, Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. All right, upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. Amen, amen. Okay, that's true. The work of God in my life. It's exciting to see that. The changes that have come in my life. I will triumph in the works of thy hand, O Lord. How great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. And I'll tell you what I can think about today. I was a brutish man. I was a foolish man, caring not about the Lord, caring not about the Word of God. I was like that. And yet God saved me out of that life. Goes on and says here, all right, when the wicked spring up as a grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, are most high forevermore. And I think about these verses here. I think about verse 1, we talk about just saying thank you to the Lord. Verse 2, it says, you know, it tells us right there, show forth thy loving kindness in the morning. And that tells me right there, in the morning, I can tell him, thank him, and thank him for his loving kindness. I think about the verse we see here in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, where it says that God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thank you, God, for your loving kindness. Thank you for the fact that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary. Thank you, God, that you sent somebody by my house long ago to share the good news of Jesus Christ. I thank you, dear God. There's so much I can thank you because your love is so evident to me. And dear friend, it is that way. Better part of that verse, it says this, and thy faithfulness every night. When I get up in the morning, I can thank God for all that he's given me as a Christian. When I go to bed at night, I can thank God for what? His faithfulness to me all day long, leading and guiding me and allowing me to do the things of God, giving me a life to live. I can thank you for that, God. And so, therefore, I want to do that. I thank him for his faithfulness and his willingness to forgive me of my sins. I thank him for his faithfulness as he is a faithful high priest. I thank him for his faithfulness to his promises, that God keeps his word. I thank you for that, God. Verse 4, it says here, for thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy works, and I will triumph in the works of thy hand. Verse 4, and I wrote down here, you have done so much for me, O Lord. No wonder I am glad, and I shall sing of your praises when I think about the look over at the picture of my kids on the wall there and the fact that God allowed me to have children. We don't all have that privilege. The fact that God allowed me to have children who one day trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. God gave me kids, not kids after, you know, where I was saved long before, you know, after they were born, but kids that came into my life as I came to know Jesus Christ. And I was able to teach them and instruct them in the ways of righteousness. The fact that my kids have seen the truth of God's Word, the reality of God's Word in my life, and now are living for God. I thank you for that, Father. The marvelous work you've done, I will sing and rejoice in your name because of what you've done for me. I deserve none of this. When I think about what I really deserve, and I think about hell, and that's where I should be right now, but I'm not there. I thank God for the fact he saved my my daughter-in-law, Jenny. My son was able to lead her to the Lord. I thank God that I've got kids that are soul winners and care about Jesus Christ and go to church. That's not something we all have in here, and I understand that. And I thank God that I have those things. I don't deserve those things. That's nothing special. I've done what God's instructed me to do. God has been proven himself faithful to keep his promises as I've tried to fulfill the promises and obey his word. But I thank God for those things. Verse 5, it says, O Lord, all right, how great are thy works. And we saw that there. Verse 6, it says, a brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. All right, when I think about that situation there, it's talking about the unsaved man does not know. He is not thankful. He has nothing to thank God for. A self-confident fool does not understand. He thinks there is no God. But also, as I already mentioned, I thank God that I was saved from that. I thank God for His mercy and His grace towards me and the fact that I was a brutish man. A fool, an idiot, all right? I didn't know the truth. But I thank God for the faithfulness of this church. It was a beacon light. It was a light for that was shining out in this community. And I heard about, well, God said, you, what you're looking for, Brother Rick, you're going to find this church here. He was a teacher in that church. You need to go over the door where the Word of God is preached. And there you will find what you're looking for. And I came to church at the open door, and I met the best friend I'll ever have. Ever have. And it's not Dr. Smith or any one of you people sitting in this room right now. I met Jesus here. And I'm telling you what, He's a friend that's better than any person. All right, He's a friend that sticks us closer than a brother. He's a friend that's with me everywhere I go. I've left this place and gone many places as we serve the Lord. But my friend, my dear friend, has never been left behind. He's always been there for me. And so I thank God for that. And the fact that I met Him there and He changed and transformed my life. Going on here, it says, and the wicked shall spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed. The wicked shall grow like weeds. But winter is coming, dear friend. Winter is coming. And I'm glad for that. I think there's men out there who hate God and hate Christians. But I also think about the Apostle Paul, who was Saul. He hated God. He hated Jesus Christ. But the day came when he put his faith and trust in Christ Jesus. So we have these, I think about these terrorists and things like that. They're going on trying to paralyze our country in fear. All right, that's what they're all about right now. We had a little scare down here in Washington, D.C. with this plane flying the wrong spot. Everybody got nervous, and I thank God that we're alert. All right, but we have people like that trying to paralyze this country in fear. All right, but we have our focus on the Lord. Us as Christians, we don't have to fear. We don't fear man, we fear God. But I thank God for this truth that we can see even these people can get saved. Even these brutish and foolish people like that. And then, of course, it finishes off here that the Lord is forever. We know that. And I thank God for all these things. And what I'm going to do tonight is resolve this passage here and what God has shown me and shared in my heart. I want to share some things here that I'm thanking God for personally. I've already shared several things right now, but I tell you what, these are things that just came to my mind. And I tell you what, it just makes me so excited. When I think about what Christ has done for me, when I sit down and just focus on all that He's done for me as a Christian. I think about this guy's grandfather. He used to talk about it. He said he'd get so excited. He said, I have a Baptist castle running fit. He'd say he'd get so excited about what the Lord's doing. He'd run up to his motel room. He'd jump up and down on his bed. He'd go in the bathroom, spit all over the mirror, and flush the toilet 7 times. That's how excited he got. And I thought, you know, I can identify with that. I understand what that man's saying. I mean, when Jesus Christ came into my heart and changed my life, I'm telling you, I was excited. Of course, and I met a knowledgeable Christian one day. Came up to me. He says, "Hi, there's Rick Holbrook. He's got a zeal lacking knowledge." But you know what? Lacking knowledge of what? I've learned about Jesus Christ. What he's telling me is that, you know, don't you realize how glum and terrible the world is today? Don't you realize how hopeless it is? No, I don't see all that. I see the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I have a knowledge, and you know, it's like you're zealous, so you're not totally aware. You're like clueless, you know, about what's going on. Like, I'm not clueless. Clueless, they'll say that about our church. Clueless, are you kidding me? We're out in the highways and hedges. We know what this world's all about. We're fighting the devil every day in this church. Clueless? I don't think so. We know that we can be more than conquerors. And that conquer, that joy, we know about our salvation. We know about the forgiveness God has. And because of that, we have joy in our hearts and lives. In spite of the circumstances. Clueless? I don't think so. Somebody told me, you know, as you get older, Rick, and you understand the Word of God and become more rooted and grounded in His love, you'll simmer down. You know what? I tell you what, I've got more. I'm rooted and grounded in that love, and I don't find a simmering going on. I find an excitement and a zeal in my heart. That love is something that just stirs me inside. And I like being around people like that. And finally, we got back to a place where we're around people like that. Today, we've been a lot of places serving the Lord all these 18 years. Well, that was not there. We were lonely. We were by ourselves. Oftentimes, everybody looked like, you know, do you have air in your planet? What's going on? Why are you so excited? I mean, I look at that verse, don't see it. They've lost the joy of their salvation. But I thank God we're back at church at Open Door where we see this. First of all, I want to say this thing here. We thank God for His provisions of life. And when I'm saying that, I'm talking about the elementary things. I'm talking about the food I eat. I'm talking about the air I breathe. I'm talking about the water that I drink. All these things were provided for me. When God created this world, He created everything in this world, not for Himself, did He? He doesn't need all that stuff. He's a spirit. He doesn't need water. He doesn't need the sun to warm him. He doesn't need shelter. No, He made these things for you and I. And why did He do that? Because of His love for us. I thank God for that. I thank God for the Holy Spirit of God. It says here in Romans, this provision here, Romans 8:15, it says, "But ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby ye cry, Abba, Father." And I thank God for that, because the Holy Spirit came and indwelt my life and confirmed in my heart that I was a child of God. That God was no longer my judge. He is now my Father. All right, the Spirit of adoption. I've been adopted into God's family. I'm one of God's kids. And the Holy Spirit of God has come into me, and that provision that God gave me, and He has enlightened my eyes. He is guiding me in the truth. He's teaching me the Word of God. When I go out and witness, like Brother Sanders says here, I can trust Him to give me knowledge, but also at the same time as I witness this guy right here, He is working in his heart. He's saying, what He's saying is true. That is right. You are a sinner. I can count on that. I thank God more than ever for the provision of the Holy Spirit of God. His working on my behalf, guiding me, giving me the words to say, but also confirming as I teach the Word of God, not my words, okay? Confirming in those people's hearts that this is true, that this is working. I wouldn't be up here today if I couldn't count on the Holy Spirit of God to guide me. I'm relying upon the Word of God, but I'm also relying upon the Spirit of God to speak in your heart the same way He's speaking to my heart. I thank God for His provisions that He's given me and the fact of prayer. And prayer is so important. We pray every Saturday for the bus ministry. I'm telling you, the bus ministry will keep you on your knees, friend. I don't know if, I mean, these buses, they are so ornery. I mean, they're just so undependable. And I tell you, we go out there every Sunday picking up hundreds of kids and all the potential problems we have there. And yet God continues to work for us. It says here in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." And what I like about that, God hears my prayers, but God says, "I want you to do your work with confidence, Rick. You know, I hope God will do this thing for me." Would you like to trust Jesus? You probably don't want to, but hey, you know, whatever. No, man, it's confidence in Christ, not confidence in myself or my ability to speak. But I'm trusting God to work here. He has provided this thing here, and I'm going to trust God. I have prayed and asked God to do this. He said He'll do it, and now I will move forward in a confident way, trusting God to take care of my needs. Think about a brother here getting ready to work on this lady's home here. And he is learning himself. God is trustworthy, right? But it's a step-by-step operation. We're all that way. I'm learning to trust God for things today that I didn't trust Him for before. It is a growing process. My faith is growing daily, and I want it to. If it's not growing, then I am not growing. And my faith grows as a result of being in the Word of God and being in church. Next thing I have down here is this, as far as being thankful. We should be thankful for the Bible, all right, for its inspiration. It says over here, and this is a good verse. I'm going to use this next week. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Y'all know it, right? All Scripture is given by inspiration. That means it's God-breathed from the very lips of God. I believe that with all my heart and soul. I'll die on that truth right there. And it's profitable for doctrine, teaching, for reproof, being rebuked. And I like the Word of God. It rebukes my heart. It tells me when I'm messing up. And I thank God for it. I want to know. I know my God loves me because He reproves me. And for correction, those who are in error, for instruction in righteousness. Train us, new believers, in God's ways. I'm going to be doing something next week here that I kind of look forward to. I'm going to be with Ira Zepp next week at the college. And I'm going to go in there. And what I'm going to do is share with them the fundamentals of faith. He said, "I want you to come in here and defend the Word of God." Defend the Word of God. You've got to be kidding me. I'd much rather what? Defend a lion than the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful, friend. We see that right here in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says there, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul," all right, "under soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." And when I go in there, I go in there loaded. I'm going to come in there with the Word of God because I know the Word of God is sharp. And I know the Word of God will penetrate their hearts. I know when I go in there and share the Word of God, and that's what I'll do, the Word of God won't, I won't be defended. It's going to be working on them. The Holy Spirit of God will be working on them, confirming and saying, that is true. See this truth. That Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son. That there is such a thing as a virgin birth, even though it seems impossible. God's able to do all things. There is a God in heaven. All those principles, I'll go in there, but I'll go in there armed. I'm not going as a weakling. I'll have the sword of the Spirit. And I will use the sword of the Spirit. I will not defend the Word of God. I'll allow the Word of God to stand on its own. And I will use it. And I thank God for it. I thank God also for the fact that it's power and also for its message. And that message is a wonderful message. We see in John chapter 3, verse 16. You all know the verse. It says there, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I thank God for that truth. Have you gotten used to that verse there? Have you gotten familiar with that? Are you losing the sight of that truth there? That God loved the world? Are you in love with the world? I mean, well, I don't want to love the physical thing. No, the people in this world. Are you caring about those things? Well, I tell you what, I thank God for that message. I thank God for the message that's changed and transformed my life. Third point I have is this here. We should give thanks for the church. I'm telling you what, dear friend. I thank God for Church of the Open Door. I thank God the Church of the Open Door is still standing strong on the Word of God. I thank God. But, you know, Church of the Open Door isn't built. We all know that. I thank God for the people that make up Church of the Open Door that are faithful and true to God's Word. I thank God for the deacon board. But most of all, I thank God for the pastor who takes a stand, all right, and fights against all the stuff that's going on. You know, the world out there right now wants us to compromise in so many ways. So many ways. But our pastor stands true. I thank God for the mission that we have in the church. Of course, we all know what that is. It's found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, which is the Great Commission. In fact, He's told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing or saving, having a person saved, baptizing them and teaching them. I thank God for that. I thank also God for the purpose of this church. I wrote down here a verse we can find over here in Hebrews. It says, let us consider one another, all right, to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some, but exhorting, all right, one another, insomuch as you see the day approaching. I thank God that we have a church that is provoking, that we're stirring each other up. I thank God that we can come together in fellowship and care about each other, that we're ministering to each other. It's not something we relegate to the pastor, all right, or one of the assistant pastors of this church. It is something we all get involved with. My heart has been challenged and comforted. And people coming to me and sharing with me, you know, different things related to the Lord Jesus Christ. I had a person come in the other day, came along and just shared with me a verse from the Bible. Man, it really did encourage my heart. I don't know why they did it, but the timing was perfect for me. I thank the Lord for the fact that we have a purpose here. I wrote down here this verse here. Pure religion undefiled before God and the Father is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to give him that is unspotted, you have to keep him unspotted before the world. What I'm saying when I say that here is this. I thank God the Church of the Open Door is not a private club. It's not a place where exclusive people come to. It's not a place where certain people can come here and feel outside the realm. Not welcome to this church here. When I came to Church of the Open Door 20-some years ago, I'll tell you what, I was one big mess, dear friend. And I looked like a mess. I woke like a mess. Carol and I came in this church here. We didn't know what was going on. We came with our two kids and our two children, Matthew and Mark, at that time. And the pastor preached on tithing. That got me real upset. I had to walk out of the church. Couldn't stand it. I hate preachers that preach about money. And that's what he preached about that Sunday. And I had to leave. Of course, the thing was, he left me with a message. He talked about being born again. But I came inside this church. I had my dancing clothes on. I had my patent leather shoes on, black and white. I had my patent leather belt on. I had my Jive Turkey hairdo. I had my blue, what do you call that thing? It was a houndstooth, double knit suit, bright blue. I mean, I was with it. I come walking in here, you know, just glad to be here. And the worst part of it all was, instead of putting us in the back where I belong, some nut put me up in the front row. And here we are up there, you know, just kind of look good. I mean, I didn't know what was going on. Try and look intelligent, I guess. But you know what? I never felt unwelcome here. I mean, they shook my hand. They greeted me. When the time came to shake people's hands, they shook my hand. Now, I wanted to get out. I felt uncomfortable. The convicting power of the Holy Spirit was working at that point in time. And I didn't understand that. But I'm telling you, the Lord spoke to my heart there. But the thing I loved so much about that was the fact I came here and they never one time shunned me. My English was wrong. I mean, Carol and I, we were rough. Pastors, amazing grace. And that was a picture of what the Lord was doing there. I got saved and there were people who thought I didn't get saved. How in the world can this guy get saved and act the way he does and do the things he's doing right now? But you know what? They were patient with me. They were long-suffering and they were kind. And that love and that kindness toward it's what brought us back to church, the Open Door. I'd never sensed that before. I never saw the things that went on in it. We saw these kids here. There were kids in this church. And the kids seemed to like this church. They seemed to be on fire for Christ. And I got, as far as what that is, I didn't understand that. I thought, why are these kids in church? Man, I never liked going to church. Why are they here? And we saw a fellow by the name of Uncle Ken. And I thought, man, Uncle Ken, he must have a lot of kids in his family. I never saw been in a church where you have personal, you kind of talk to each other like that. Uncle Ken? And there was this kid. They were all talking. They came back from a teen trip, and they're all talking about Uncle Ken. This guy's got a big family, right? I mean, what else could you think? But then I realized, no, it was a term of endearment. This man was ministering the Word of God to them. And I saw the lives of these kids being changed. And you know what, God? There is hope for my family. There is hope here. But the people, again, were long-suffering and patient and willing to let Carol and I grow at God's pace and at God's time. And never preached to me about my clothes. Never preached to me about the things I did. But the Lord just began to work. And I began to see the lives of men in this church that are sitting here right now. And the Lord began to use these men and the lives they lived to change and transform my life. But above all that, I saw the love of Christ working in a real and dynamic way. And I thank God for that. Another thing that I want to praise the Lord for, as far as this is our life is concerned, we need to thank Him for our Savior, Jesus Christ, and what He's done for us. I thank Jesus Christ for His devotion to the Father. I thank Him for that. It says here in the Bible, in Luke, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I thank God that Jesus did not quit. I thank God that under the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ was willing and able to resist the temptation to walk away from the cross of Calvary. I thank God for that. I thank God for the testimony He has and the fact that what He did encourages my heart. There are days in my life when I want to walk away from the ministry. I'm thinking, Lord, this is just too hard for me. I don't know if I can do these things. I am not intelligent enough to do what You want me to do, God. I don't have the power. I don't have the gifts to do this. But God, He's told me, Rick, You can do all things through me. Look at the power and the work I did with my son. Jesus Christ to me was a foreign person. I never really could connect to Him very well in the churches that I went to. He just didn't seem natural to me. But I came to the church, the Open Door, I began to experience the power and the love of God in a dynamic way. I remember the time that I went into a prayer meeting there, and I think I've shared this before. And the guys went in there and were talking to Jesus. They were praying. It scared me to death. All right, I looked to see where Jesus was in that room. They talked to Jesus Christ as though He was actually a real person sitting there. I had never been around a person like that. They spoke as though they really knew Him, and you know what? They did know Him. And I began to find that out. That was a difference in their life. But I thank Jesus Christ for His devotion to the Father. I thank also for the fact of His finished work on the cross of Calvary. It says over here in the Bible, in the Gospel of John, If Jesus therefore hath made thee free, he shall be free indeed. All right, that truth there, Jesus on the cross of Calvary, His finished work was dealing with my needs. His truth, the truth of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, changed and transformed my life. All right, but He went to that cross, and that finished work on there, He finished it all. He went to that cross and did all that was required of Him. There are days when I've been serving the Lord, and I think, dear God, I've been doing this, but everybody's not saved. There were people that weren't saved today. There are people that, have not trusted Jesus Christ. I got family members, but God says, Rick, just do the work I have for you today. We have days that we're disappointed in the bus ministry because the kids don't come. We'd like to see them all come, but they don't come. But you know what? God says, you just go out there and be faithful to what I have for you to do. All right? And I'll work on your behalf in that situation. I'll take care of you. I thank for the fact that He was faithful in His work and He finished His work. But I also thank Him for His saving power. All right, it says here in Romans, it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I thank God that He has no preferential treatment as far as the gospel is concerned. When I think about myself and all the things I've gone through, and the things I did as a person, I cannot believe that God would be willing to save me. But God did that. You know, in my life long ago, and I'm going to close with this point here. We'll probably get done early tonight. I had to learn some things about Jesus and God. I had it in my mind that certain people, I thought, well, you know, when God saved me, hey, you know, I'm a trophy of God's grace. And that was true. But as I grew in the Lord, I began to think, you know what, I'm a little more than that. I'm somebody. You know what? I'm a person that I'm probably worthy of God's love and God's mercy. But soul winning was a thing that changed and transformed my life when it came to this area of pride in my life. I went out one day and God really worked the cradles in my heart about the need of sharing the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world. And we went to a place where there were some folks there that were really, they were just a real mess. And I thought, you know what, God, I can't go in there. Those people are not worthy of your love. They're not worthy of your mercy. They're not worthy of the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, they'll not even respond to that thing. But I went in there that night, and there was a lot of heartbreak, a lot of things there that I'd never seen before as far as a family's concerned. But as I got there and told them about Jesus Christ, I began to see the power of God working, and the cussing and the profanity and the foolishness that was going on began to change. Folks that were there that didn't want to be there, they left. And God left me there with some folks there that really truly wanted to know about Jesus Christ and His love for them. And I began to realize, you know what, God is truly not a respecter of persons. That He wants the whole world to come and know Jesus Christ as Savior. That love is there. I went on, later on, I thought, well, I'm learning that lesson now, Father. But I had a real attitude, a very bad attitude towards preachers that did not preach the truth. Carol and I lived for years and went to churches where they did not talk about Jesus Christ. They were the wolves in sheep's clothing, and I hated them. I hated them with a real passion because they were leading people to hell. And I had a real problem with that. And so I was very abrupt and I was not kind to certain men that were in that ministry until the time came. And I think I told you about that when I went to the jail. And I was preaching a message there with Brother Haynes, and this Episcopal priest put his faith and trust in Christ. He prayed and trusted Christ as Savior. I was shocked that God would even save that guy. I thought, this man, all the things he's done, I can't believe you do that, God. Why? But then I realized it's the love of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He's not jealous. He's not stingy with His love. Although, you know what, dear friend? A lot of times we are. We are. I know when I've had many situations where I've been able to challenge people in the full-time Christian service and mission work. And I had Christian parents come to me, mad at me, because they said, you're the one who challenged my child to go and be working in the uttermost parts of the world. And dear friend, I'm not that person. All right? They're saying, my children, my grandchildren, they're not. This is too great a sacrifice for me to make, to give them over and allow them to serve in such a place as that. But dear friend, God's love is way beyond that. I think about the time when I realized that God's love was given towards tribal people. And I'll tell you, it was a growing process for me. But I remember the time I read a letter where it said very plainly, it says, our old mothers and fathers are dying daily. You must send us a missionary quickly. Death does not rest here. We need somebody to come here and tell us about God. When I heard that message, my heart was challenged. All right, I began to realize that God really cares about these people. There's not a place we can go where God's love doesn't need to go there. I think about what we got coming up right now with this revival service. There are a lot of people we know in this area here who need to come to Church of the Open Door. When I think about what Christ has done for me, the fact that He was devoted to His Father, that even though He could have had that cup pass, He did not do that. God, I believe, is challenging all of our hearts to go out there to loved ones and family members who need to hear about Christ Jesus. We're going to have the supper ready. We're preparing the tables. The banquet's ready. And God says, I want you to go out in the highways and hedges. I want you to tell people about my Son, Jesus Christ. There's a man coming in here. This man's going to have a truth that will transform their lives. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. We need to take that message out there. We need to be willing to get involved. You know, we need to have prayer meeting right now. God will move. God will do these things. But only as we put our own hearts in this thing and trust God to do a miracle and work a miracle in these situations. I'll tell you, dear friend, this man, we've all heard him. We're all excited about that. And we got this placard out here advertising that thing. But we need to get out there this Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday, telling people about this thing. I remember Carol and I, when we had the zeal of our salvation, we were fired up for Jesus Christ and we realized that God could save anybody. We were out there trying to get our family members in here that they might hear the truth and have their lives transformed like mine. They need to know that they have a home in heaven. They need to know, when Carol and I, when we first heard about the fact that Jesus Christ might come back again, all right, and we might not die, we thought, man, so-and-so needs to hear about that. Our aunt needs to hear about this. We need to get this message out. This truth is a transforming and powerful thing. We need to tell other people about that. But dear friend, I think sometimes we get so familiar with these truths, we lose the joy of our salvation. We're no longer thankful. A thankful heart, I guess, as far as a Christian is concerned, is an obedient Christian. He's a zealous Christian. He says, I thank you, God, for what you've done for me. Now let me share these truths with other people. I know the pastor's heart right now is given exactly towards that. All right, his heart's desire is to see us happen. We're getting ready to have a pastor's conference here in a couple, well, in November it's going to be. And it's going to be a time where we're going to be bringing men in here to see what God has done in this church. When I talk about, thanking God for the church, the open door. Dear friend, I tell you, this is a miracle working place. But the miracle in this place is not the pews or the building. It's the miracles that are going on in your hearts and lives. That's what they're going to come and see. Not a building that's impressive, although it is. They're coming to see you all. When the pastor goes out and preaches, he brags on you all. Telling everybody, and Brother Larry's the same way, sharing the things that God has done in the hearts and lives of the people in this church. I thank God for Church the Open Door. I thank God for the blessings I have as a Christian here. I thought when I came in today, I said, Lord, I thank you so much for fellows like Larry Stainer and Pastor Norris. That what these men mean to me and how they encourage and challenge my heart. I appreciate so much the work that goes on in the offices here at the church. I thank God for Mrs. Stainer and for Fran Jones, these people that do these works. I think about Mrs. Comstock, who put together the bulletins. I walk around, I think, thank God for these folks. Without these folks here, I thank God for the folks who play the organ and the piano and do the things that make this church what it is today. I thank God for Donald. All right? He's the man in charge of the money in this church, or does a lot of stuff like that. He's always telling me what we can't do and what we can do. We can't buy this, and we left the room messed up and all these things. But I thank God for men like him who are faithful to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. He's doing his job. And I thank God for that. I thank God for the janitors in this church. When I walk in the church, it's clean, it's neat, it's orderly. I mean, nobody does a perfect job, but I thank God for that. I thank God for the school teachers we have here and the Christian school we have. Training and discipling people. Man, I tell you what, I got a lot to be thankful about. And I tell you what, we need to see those things. Look at the little details. I thank God for the flower arrangements here. I mean, this just doesn't happen by accident. Right? There are people who put hard work into these things to make this church what it is today. And I thank God for that. I thank God for the people, and I do this so much in my heart every Sunday for the folks who are willing to tithe and give offerings towards the work of this church that we might be able to run the buses and bring the kids in this church. We haven't worried one iota about the gas crunch. First of all, we know it's in God's control. But I thank God for the people in this church, you all right now, who faithfully give that this church might flourish and be prosperous. Thank God for the Sunday school teacher. There is so much here that we can thank God for. And yet so often we find ourselves not thankful. We find ourselves down and glum. Not rejoicing in the Lord and singing praises unto Him, but kind of just sitting there wallowing in the muck and mire of our own selves and not seeing how great a God it is. What a privilege it is to be a member of this church. What a privilege it is to be able to come here and have our pastor preach the Word of God every Sunday and see the truths that have transformed our lives. Right, dear friend? How about where you were before? You were that brutish person, that fool. But God has led you to the church, the open door, and now you're a wise man. You're a Christian. You're a child of God. You got a home in heaven. But that didn't happen by accident. That came as a result of the teaching and the preaching of God's Word in this church. And the faithfulness of our pastor to hold the line and stay in the Word of God. And other people that teach in Sunday school classes, I think about Rick Goodwin and how the Lord used him in my life to change me in so many ways. He taught lessons and he taught me some truths there I didn't know. And I thank God for that. I'll tell you what, it's so blessed to be a child of God. And I think it's good for us to, like it says here, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto His name, Most High, to show forth His loving kindness in the morning, all right, and His faithfulness at night. When I go to bed at night, I'll be thinking about all the things God has done for me and His faithfulness, allowing me to do and be in the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But dear friend, we need to remember these things. We need to get our focus off ourselves and the things of this world and our focus back on Jesus Christ. I thank God for an older brother over there who's able to still go down the Baltimore Rescue Mission. We need to thank God for our health and the things we do. I thank God for the testimony of Don Goodwin and the impact he had on my life. I tell you what, I walk in this church here, there is so much for me to be rejoicing about and excited about. Thank God for Larry Haynes, a politician that serves the Lord in a pretty rotten place. And yet we vote the man in there and he's doing his job. I thank God for him. You know, instead of walking around here criticizing each other, we all probably be more thankful for each other and focus on what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. I could go around and thank God for my bus captains. You know, we need to walk around here rejoicing in the Lord and thanking Him for all that He's done. I think about the Roaches and what they've done in the ministry in this church here and on the board of this church and how they helped me out with the breakfast that we do. I tell you what, it's a team effort here. We're all bonded together in the love of Christ. And dear friend, we need to see that. Instead of being critical and backbiting and cutting each other down and walking in here and thinking of whatever thought there might be, we need to be thanking God for each one of us. I thank the God for the sound man we have up there. There's just so much to be praising the Lord for. Dear friend, are you praising God today? Are you seeing His mercy and His grace working in your life? His provisions? Are you rejoicing in God for what He's done in this church here at Open Door and for the people? Are you thanking God for the folks who have saved, even though they're not all saved? Thanking God for the fact we're going to have our pastor back? I'll tell you what, I'm praising the Lord to have him back. I miss our pastor tremendously. I look forward for him to be back where he needs to be. He is the anchor. He's the man that God's given us, this church, to lead us on. And I'll tell you what, dear friend, I miss him. And the absence makes the heart grow fonder. My heart is more in love with him than ever before. I appreciate so much what that man does. Dear friend, I'll tell you what, we as Christians, we're going to close out now. We have a lot to be thanking God for. But we need to show forth this Thanksgiving as we leave this church and inviting people to come to Church the Open Door and see what God is doing here. To see the joy that we have in our hearts because we are praising God for the things He's accomplished here. I'm trusting God for some miracles this weekend, aren't you? I'm praying and I'm believing and I'm going to go. All right? And get involved that we might see that miracle at Church the Open Door here this weekend and the following days. Father, again, we just thank you, Lord, for your watch care. I thank you, dear Lord, for your love for me. And Lord, for the fact that you care for me enough that you died for me on the cross of Calvary. Father, I thank you so much for this church and all it means to me. And Lord, I pray you'll help us to leave here rejoicing in you and thanking you, dear Lord, for the car we drive, the air we're breathing, the earth we walk upon, Father. Thanking you for the house we live in, even though it's maybe not as big as it could be. But Lord, it's the one you've given to us. Thanking you, dear Lord, for the wives and the children and all that we have, Father. We're so blessed. We're so blessed. But thanking you most importantly for Jesus Christ and what He's done. Help us, dear Lord, to be willing to share that the whole world might rise up and praise your name, Father God, as they experience the things we've experienced here at this church. We just pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and sing a song of invitation. God spoke in your heart, dear friend. Respond. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, dear friend, tonight could be your day, night of salvation. Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. He paid the full price. All you need to do, dear friend, is to reach out and receive Him as your Savior, trusting that what He did on the cross paid fully for your salvation. Let's go ahead and stand.
Hymn number 183, Oh, How I Love Jesus. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me.
All right, God bless you folks. Thanks for coming out.